And on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain and I are going to the Golden Globes with Richard Knight Jr., who's telling us who he thinks will win and should win as he kind of reviews the year in film and some television, too. And Mitchell brings in his review of the Kennedy Center Honors and how was Babs' tribute. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and do we agree on how the whole program went? I think you'll be surprised. And we've got news and what's going on in the theater scene and much, much more. It's a really fun Queercast, and Mitchell's back in 2009.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
This is just another day that I would spend waiting for the right one. Staring at the night and wishing I could be the one to feel.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 276. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
Hello, Mitchell.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. I've been a lazy girl.
Oh, my God. I have not.
For a couple of days, finally.
I have not left the house today. Well, my show closed this weekend.
Yeah.
Closed last night, so I had two shows. And there is nothing sadder or lonelier than the closing night of a one-man show.
Oh, no.
I mean, if a one-man show
like
closes...
It's kind of like you just open up a fifth of something and just start pouring it down your throat.
If a one-man show closes in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, did it actually
did
happen?
Did it actually happen? Did it actually close? Is it still going on?
I actually had a friend come last night, which was nice. Two friends come, and that was really nice. But then literally, I packed up like all my stuff, like all my little products and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's not like you're wearing lots of...
No, but like I have this whole ritual thing where I like to have like product. I need floss and toothpaste and mouthwash, and I need something. I like
tips of the actors were here.
Yeah, just stuff like that. So packed it all up, put in my backpack, walked to the Clark Street bus and went home. It was literally like, burr, burr, burr. But it was really good. It was really fun. So today
you're so fantastic in that show.
Thank you.
Do you think you'll do it again next year? Could you imagine doing it three years in a row?
Yeah, totally. I could because there's so much time in between. It's not like you do the show for an exceedingly long time.
Right.
So by the time
we're talking about the Santaland Diaries,
By the time next year would come around again, if the director still wanted me to do it, they'd be in their new space. By the way, because Theatre Wit has taken over the Bailiwick.
Right.
So I imagine he'll want to do that show because it's a moneymaker for him.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just had so much fun this year and we got such great reviews.
Yeah.
And that sounds shitty because I said we as if, I mean, me and the director and the stage manager.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes.
The team.
I would totally do it again. It was super fun. And this year particularly was crazy, crazy fun. And I enjoyed every one of it. But today, I'm in my pajamas.
Yeah.
As Amy can attest to right now.
I'm in my sweats. We're in our sweats.
Steven Rader came on Friday night.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Aww.
Saturday night.
I didn't see him at my brunch. Mm-mm. He came to your show instead.
Which is so sweet.
Yay.
So sweet. Because, Stephen runs Season of Concern. That's not why he came, but I was raising money for Season of Concern, and I must admit, I raised a lot of money.
You are good at that.
I'm good at
people's to give the money.
I am good. I am good at that. Mm-hmm. I'm persuasive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In some weird.
I'm good at that too.
Nice work from us.
This household should be Midas.
We should get you.
Ka-ching ching. So, over the holidays, and we're going to talk in our next show a lot about the holidays, but this show, we are going to have Richard Knight Jr. on to talk about the Golden Globes, just to give everybody
movies.
A little prep time.
Yeah.
But I know that your Christmas tradition, being Jewish, is to go see a movie on Christmas Day. But I also know that, I mean, we Richard and I have discussed that there's just 30 days or 30 films that kind of explode between like Thanksgiving and the end of the year. And even though we're in 2009, you know, I'm backed up. Like I haven't
seen anything because I was doing the show too.
But did you have movies of 2008 that you just like really loved, or have you spent the holidays kind of enjoying entertainment? And
I watched, you know what? I'm addicted to Turner Classic Movies.
Yeah.
So my default channel, like when I get home and I turn on the television,
mm-hmm.
I go immediately to Turner Classic Movies.
See, so, I grew up with it right outside of Atlanta. So we had like the Turner Broadcasting Network before anybody else did.
Love it. And so for me, it's like, you know, over the holidays, I watched Christmas in Connecticut and I watched The Bishop's Wife, not The Preacher's Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have a favorite Christmas movie? I mean, is it Meet Me St. Louis?
Meet Me in St. Louis is my favorite, is in my top three favorite movies of all time.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
What are your top two?
Nashville and What's Up, Doc.
Interesting.
Nashville, What's Up, Doc. Meet Me in St. Louis. Fanny and Alexander and Spirited Away.
That's my top five. Fanny and Alexander. Can we watch it together?
Oh my god, it's
like
epic.
7 hours.
It isn't that long, but it's epic. it's like get under a blanket and just literally, it's like eating Swedish bonbons.
Right? Oh dear lord, I had a Swede once. It's a long, dark, smoky night. That's all I gotta say.
Did you have sex with Lee Ullman?
No, I didn't, but it probably would have been sunnier. And that's pretty dim.
But my recent favorite Christmas movie is, excuse me, I belched. Isn't that
He's
charming?
Drinking the 7
I'm drinking the 7 up and it's making me burpy. The Bishop's Wife with Loretta Young and Cary Grant and David. Have you ever seen that?
I have. It's been so long.
I love it so much. It just
like,
feels
I think I saw that back when I saw like the Bells of St. Mary or something.
Yes. I mean, I love all that stuff.
But I love Scrooged.
Scrooged with Bill Murray. I've never seen it.
I think and Bad Santa or Batter Santa, if you can get the Batter Santa.
Yeah, I like
got
that.
It
I like Bad Santa.
And I love to watch The Nutcracker. It was actually on the Great Performances. Had the San Francisco Ballet was doing it, and I stopped and watched it. And I have to say, not as good as the Joffrey. If you miss the Joffrey here in Chicago every year, it is.
I do.
Just
I haven't seen
genius.
It.
Genius. I saw it last year. I did not see it this year. And it was just
it
because
years.
Of my travel plans. I couldn't get there.
You had a busy holiday.
I had a busy holiday. I really, really did.
Speaking of movies, I just literally like 5 seconds before I came here. Downstairs, down the back stairs.
Yep.
I just watched a fabulous movie, an independent film from last year that if you haven't seen, I can't recommend highly enough. It's called Waitress.
Oh, I love Keri Russell in that.
I love everybody in it.
It's so great.
And also, full disclosure, my friend Eddie's in it, and he's really fabulous.
Your friend Eddie's in it?
Yeah, he's the one who marries the Eddie Jameson. He marries the woman who also wrote it and directed it.
Oh wow! Yeah,
in the movie
that
he plays her boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's sort of like he plays like the nerdy guy. Who
yeah.
Knows. Anyway,
that's such a great movie.
It's a great
it was
movie.
One of my favorite. Was that last year?
It was
it 2008?
Yeah.
Such a great movie. Yeah, I really
tragic though because she was killed before it was released.
Yeah, that was really, really, really a great movie. Kelly
loved
and
it.
I watched it and we really loved it. Kelly and I have been catching up because we were both away from each other. All during the holidays, and editor Dylish has been giving me for Christmas and for my birthday for the past couple years the Battlestar Galactica DVDs. And
nice.
Kelly, my girlfriend, who is an avid sci-fi hater, has absolutely been turned around.
Nice.
And it is, I actually just loaned out season one to a very good friend of mine, playwright Sarah Gubbins, who had her play done at the Steppenwolf.
Who I love, by the way. The two
Who's
of them.
Great.
That was my favorite part of the day, the other night, the other afternoon when it was when it was just us.
Yeah.
The five of us.
She's into, you know, writing, and I said, you have to watch this. She was like, I hate sci-fi. And my Kelly pipes up and says, okay, wait a minute. I hate sci-fi, but... So when they come back, you're going to have to get on
All
the
right,
kick.
All right, I'll definitely watch
it.
Also, Kelly and I have our Cagney and Lacey date.
Yes, you have your Cagney and Lacey.
Because we discovered we're both Cagney and Lacey freaks.
Yeah, it's quite true.
Yeah.
Now, with the Golden Globes, it's also about television.
Yeah.
Are there television shows that you love?
Well, one show that I really love.
Besides Cagney and Lacey.
Besides
Cagney.
Like, I think I love, like, you know, So You Think You Can Dance and, yeah, you know, Project Runway and
you
stuff like
that.
You
and I both love So You Think You Can
oh,
Dance.
Oh, God, I can't.
Can't wait.
Can't get enough.
Can't wait.
So You Think You Can Dance.
In but my Tino is Superstars of Dance. Can't wait to watch that.
Nice.
Either.
But the one show my the show that I one show that I sort of like is appointment TV for me that I love. I just like to curl up and watch is Brothers and Sisters, which has a new episode finally tonight.
Yeah.
Because it's been on hiatus.
It's a show that's definitely gotten better, right? But it's still very melodramatic.
It's melodramatic.
Like, it's like the good old soaps that we've missed.
It's like 30-something.
Nighttime soaps, yeah.
It's like 30-something. It reminds me of 30-something, which I was obsessed with.
Kelly and I, too. We cannot. It's not on DVD
so,
yet.
So, yeah, it's We're dramatic.
Like freaked out.
And, you know, it can be soap opera-ish, but the acting is so good.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I'm just totally invested in it.
Yeah.
And as far as, like, other TV things that I watch... you know, I watch 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
But there's very other few other television shows. The one show I get excited about every year is the Kennedy Center Honors, which was just on.
Yes. Okay. I just talked about this in the last podcast with Kelly, and I said massive thumbs down this year.
I disagree.
Oh, my God.
I am in the minority
really?
Here because I've had this discussion with my friend Laurel.
Okay, good.
I've
I knew you would discussion. Have some, so this is what we're going
to I had this discussion
have.
With Alex.
Yeah.
I disagree. I disagree, especially about the tribute to Babs.
Okay, wait. I'm just going to hold you there. We're going to take a break. Okay. That's going to be like a cliffhanger.
Okay.
I'm going to know why you disagree.
Because, you know, I'm a Babs freak.
I know you are a Babs freak, and I was sitting here the whole time going, Mitchell's going to hate this, mm-hmm. and now you love it. So we're going to break. We're going to tell you what's going on. Let's tell you what's going on in the theater scene because, you know, television, movies, theater, it all goes together. And we'll be back with Mitchell Fain and his review of the Kennedy Center Honors. And then later on in the show, Richard Knight Jr. is going to take us through the Golden Globes, the nominees, who should win, who will win, all on the Queercast.
Jersey Boys, Chicago's smash hit, has put a whole new block of tickets on sale now and into the new year. So book your seats today, either for yourself or as a great holiday gift. Because there's no better way to say 'tis the season than with the seasons.
Oh, what a night.
Jersey Boys, now on sale through January 11th. Visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 5th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenberg, formerly of TV Sisters. It's playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Mitchell, your review of the Kennedy Center.
I liked it. Okay, so when they first announced it, mm-hmm. at first I was like, oh, Christ, really? She has to do mm-hmm. with Bush sitting there? But okay, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Kelly was very upset that her necklace was not showing. She was like, Barbara, why are your, you know, your freedom flag
because
gold
she has a
coin,
big,
but she had a big sequin jacket on over it?
Not only that, but she has big old lady, Jewish old lady boobs.
Oh,
like
and
my,
she didn't
like
want
my
to
boobie.
Show.
She's a boobie.
She's a boobie.
No, I think they got stuck in there. I think the thing got down
I
in the
don't
boobs.
Know.
In the, you know. Anyway,
they did.
So,
they worked on Dolly Parton and they were like hanging up there. Last later, the ding, ding, ding.
So at first I was like, what? That's who's going to, you know, Queen Latifah did the introduction.
Which I thought was so odd, and then after she did it, I thought that was actually beautiful.
It was gorgeous.
That was the best part of the whole thing.
I loved
thing.
It. I loved the whole thing. And then, so what they, with her, they tried to do, because they've already feted all the sort of great, you know, Aretha Franklin and Tina Turner, so it's like, I like that what they did was that they took a younger generation, and that was their theme of presenting to Barbara to say, what influence, because that's what the whole thing about the Kennedy Center's
mm-hmm.
honors is that it's the influence you've had mm-hmm. on the culture. So to have Queen Latifah come out and say, basically, as a black girl
love
of
that.
Size, growing up in Jersey, and having a lot of black female singer friends in my life, I know that the black girls love Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't seem like it because mm-hmm. she's not, you know, Aretha or Gladys, but they get it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so then Idina Menzel came out. She's the new Broadway girl. Right.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Who should they have had?
Not her or Kelly O'Hara. Neither one of
well,
them.
Well, the problem with Kelly O'Hara is like...
They could have had somebody sing somewhere. I just really wish they hadn't had those two people.
Well, that well, let me,
they could have had like a young choir.
Well, let me
sing
get, let me
somewhere.
Finish. So like, okay, so I loved it. I thought Idina Menzel did great. So
I did not think Idina Menzel did great.
I think she's a weird twitchy performer, but I thought
she's
great.
Too shrill and
I thought Beyonce was awesome.
I thought Beyonce was really good.
Because I've never actually heard her just sing notes. She's always like running up and down a scale.
No, I thought she looked beautiful. I thought she
in full
sounded
Barbara
beautiful.
Drag. And then Neo, I'm not saying I thought he was great, but I loved the idea of it. And I appreciated it because it's like the fact that this young...
I had no problem with him. I really had the problem with the Broadway people.
It was the opera singers because it was too old school and too old fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
The opera part of it, the somewhere part of it. It was too old school and too old fashioned. And I thought, if you're going to make the point that what Barbara's career has led to is people who are unlikely to have succeeded, you know, like Latifah being a big girl.
Right.
You know, and then Beyonce doing movies and television and music and that mm-hmm. whole thing. And
but how could you have not had Celine sing? Who was like her...
I think... Because that's what I said. Like Selena, Josh Groban.
Or Linda Etter. Or...
But, oh, God, I hate Linda Etter. I take four Idina Menzels over one Linda Etter.
I know, but I can't... No, I like Linda. And Linda...
I think she can sing.
I think she's been influenced by her. I just felt like... I felt like they missed an opportunity. I don't know who it would be. I mean, I thought Beyonce was a good choice. And I said that to Kelly... Which Kelly was like, really? And I was like, yeah, because she's like an entertainer. She's a singer. She's in television.
Doing the whole, well, the
she's
whole
like,
point, right,
I mean,
the whole
a
point
film.
Is that she's doing everything, which is what Barbara's career has influenced, is someone who is different, who said, I want to do it all, and she did. Mm-hmm. And that it spans genres and definitions. And that's what I liked about it. That's why the sort of Kelly O'Hara and the guy with tux, mm-hmm. that's traditional performance mm-hmm. bored me because I thought they just made these interesting choices and they didn't finish it mm-hmm. with something interesting, you know? But let me just say this. The best part of that entire evening mm-hmm. was, well, two best parts, was A, watching Barbara's response to things. She was so darling. I don't know if mm-hmm. anybody caught this. If y'all don't know, I just said y'all. I'm just going to touch down with you. If you all don't know who Betty LeVette is, you need to get on it.
Was that the black woman that sang?
For the Who?
Oh my.
I'm a huge fan.
Lord. I was like, who is she? And I want everything that she owns. She was the highlight of the whole.
I have three of her CDs upstairs.
Frackin' night.
I have it all upstairs.
Absolutely the best thing.
I have to
of
burn
the
it
night.
For you. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
And there was a moment after she finished and I watched.
I know. We rewound that. We rewound that three times where she leans over to Roger Daltrey.
And basically says, who's going to follow that? She literally
says,
she goes, who's going to follow that?
I thought she said that was fantastic, but we watched it four times and I thought she was going, who the fuck was that? That's what I was saying.
I'm pretty sure she said, who's going to follow that? Because yeah. She was so phenomenal.
She was so phenomenal.
I thought the George Jones tribute was so good. I was a little bit confused about the Morgan Freeman, although I love Morgan Freeman. I think he's a fabulous actor. I'm not sure if he's reached the same level yet.
Mm-hmm.
As a person to get the candies, like what has been his influence on the culture? Mm-hmm. The Who? Mm-hmm. I mean, for Christ's sake, we get that. George mm-hmm. Jones is, you know, mm-hmm. considered the greatest country singer of all. Twyla Tharp changed
yeah,
dance.
Yeah, did she look sour and like
she's
dour
a
and
sour,
like she
angry
didn't
woman.
Want to be there, but she's cute.
But that Frank Sinatra suite was gorgeous too.
Gorgeous.
But that's what I'm saying. The whole show was gorgeous. Like that show makes me cry. It doesn't matter if I care about the person being honored, and I did. I like yeah. all of them. I'm a big fan of all of the people that were honored. But Barbara was just so darling. Like when Beyonce came out of the floor, Barbara literally went, whoa.
Yeah, whoa.
How cute is that? I'm yeah. so gay, like talking about Barbara like yeah. I know, but it was so cute.
Yeah.
It was so cute. I loved it. I disagree, and I realized that I'm in the minority. I watched it all by myself, and I thought, oh, God, I can't wait to talk to everybody. I got such goosebumps, and I loved it.
Yeah, all right. Well, then good. I'm glad they didn't disappoint you, because really they were just producing that segment for you.
Yes, they were, a little bit.
So... I don't know. I me in my head, I'm like, God, I would have loved to have seen Alexander Billings
absolutely.
To sing and act do some comedy shtick.
Alex should have done, you know, his music that makes me dance, you know.
Yeah.
But they don't know Alex.
They don't know Alex. They should know
yet.
Alex. Not yet. There's just, I just kept thinking, God, is there not a young woman who is doing like... Broadway and music and movies?
Well, you know what would have been the more obvious choice is Audra McDonald.
Well, she would have been a more obvious choice. But what is it? What are we saying, that all the black women are influenced by Barbara Streisand? We can't find one white or one Jewish woman.
I think it's actually true, though, because what she inspired is that sense that despite the odds saying that you can't be a star or a lead, mm-hmm. you know, that you can do it. That's, which is what I loved about Latifah's speech, you know, mm-hmm. that Barbara's career has opened the doors for women who aren't your typical all-American gal mm-hmm. to do it and do it big and do every part of it and never take no for an answer.
Yeah.
And I think there are very few. Yeah. I think there are few that exist. You know, let's face it. There is only one Barbara. I mean,
yeah.
But the people who have sort of benefited from her career mm-hmm. are those women. You mm-hmm. know, specifically, I think Latifah and Beyonce, because mm-hmm. they get to do it all.
Yeah. I still think Celine was, you know, extremely influenced by her. And because now she is such a mega star, we can't see maybe that influence.
Oh, but, we can see
but
that
believe
she was
you
vocally.
Me, she was, you know, a child. She was poor. She was, you know, her yeah. whole family put it on the line. She was not a pretty girl.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, definitely she had an accent, trying to learn English, like right. trying to come and take America by
storm. I still don't actually believe she knows English.
Yeah.
I actually think that every time she sings, it's phonetic.
It is phonetic. I actually saw the cute cards at Comic Con. I did. Well, folks, we got to tell you what's going on in the news, and there is lots of it already in this new year. And then Richard Knight Jr. is going to take us to the movies and the Golden Globes. I love them. Everybody gets drunk.
I know. I love it because it's a party.
It's a party.
I want to go.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. The New Jersey Division on Civil Rights ruled that a church group discriminated against a lesbian couple, Harriet Bernstein and Louisa Pastor, when it did not let them hold their civil union ceremony on the property the group owns, but has allowed others to use publicly. Next, an administrative law judge will rule on a proper remedy for the situation.
In San Francisco, First United Lutheran Church has installed a transgender minister, Jay Wilson, making him one of a very select group in the city. First United was actually the first Lutheran church to ordain an openly GLBT pastor in the 1990s. The ordination ceremony included some accommodations for Wilson, who has the autism spectrum disorder known as Asperger's syndrome.
In Cleveland, Ohio, a group of ministers is trying to repeal the city's new domestic partner registry. One of the ministers, Reverend C.J. Matthews of Cleveland's Mount Sinai Baptist Church, said that the measure was passed without allowing for significant debate.
In Memphis, Tennessee, a second trans woman who worked as a prostitute has been shot. As of early January, Lanisha Edwards remained in critical condition after being attacked December 23rd. Another trans woman, Dawana Johnson, died in December after being shot. A video of Johnson being beaten down by two cops who lost their jobs was circulated online, and police still have no leads in her murder.
Christine Maggiore, an HIV skeptic who published the book What If Everything You Thought You Knew About AIDS Was Wrong, passed away December 29th at the age of 52. Maggiore, whose three-year-old daughter died in 2005 of AIDS-related pneumonia, also founded Alive and Well AIDS Alternatives, a support group that challenges assumptions about AIDS.
Leading British HIV rights activist Nick Partridge has been knighted. The openly gay Partridge is chief executive of the Terence Higgins Trust, the first charity set up in response to the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. In 2006, he was named one of the 100 most influential gay and lesbian people in Britain by The Independent.
Jose Oswaldo Sucuyene, an Ecuadorian immigrant beaten to death in an apparent U.S. hate crime, was buried December 20th. Sucuyene, a 31-year-old real estate agent with 12 children, was attacked by a group of men who kicked and beat him while shouting anti-Latino and anti-gay slurs.
Singer Adele, known for her hit song Chasing Pavements, has revealed that her new song, Daydreamer, is about her doomed love for a bisexual guy. The 19-year-old crooner said, "I had no problem with him being bisexual, but I can't fight off girls and boys. I get jealous enough as it is."
Deborah Lee Furness, the wife of hunky leading man Hugh Jackman, is tiring of the gay rumors surrounding her husband. Jackman told the magazine that she said the most infuriating times would be in the bathroom because all she hears is he or isn't he gay? I don't know, he's married. Oh, who cares? I'm sure he's gay. Mm. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Have you ever seen a one-trick pony and feel so happy and free? If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me. Then you've seen me. I come and stand at every door. And you've seen me. I always leave with less than I had before. And you've seen me, but I can make you smile when the blood it hits the floor. Tell me, friend, can you ask for anything more? Tell me, can you ask for anything more?
Well, the 66th annual Golden Globe Awards are coming up here this weekend, and with that, we start the big awards season off with a bang, and it's the only award ceremony that merges television and film and miniseries. It's really an award show about actors and films, as opposed to all the sci-fi and tech and all of that stuff that we see in the Oscars race. So it merges everything that's going on in Hollywood from the Hollywood Foreign Press. And who better to take us through this hugely wide array of performances and stories and films than our own movie critic, Richard Knight Jr. from Night at the Movies. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Oh, I'm very nice. How nice to have me here.
It's so nice to have you here. We're so lucky.
You always give me that pomp and circumstance. And here he is, Mr. Big Movie.
Here he is. Well, I've been seeing that you've been writing a lot, not only for Windy City Times, but also on your own site and also for the Tribune, about kind of looking at this year. And we're at that point here with some of our first podcasts of the year. Everybody's looking back and looking ahead. Was this a good year for movies, do you think?
Yes, finally. As always, at the end of the year is when we, that last 25 days, or maybe 30 days, I guess it starts with Thanksgiving. All the quality pictures that have sort of been, they've been held back, are released. There was a very funny piece in the New York Times, actually, the other day, talking about, this guy has so many screeners to watch. And, being a member of the Chicago Film Critics Association, we were in the same position this year because they moved our deadlines up for nominations. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're literally, all you're doing is just movie after movie after movie, which you'd think, oh, would be dreadful. But, then you also have all the holiday stuff coming along, too.
Yes.
And you're the most popular person in your family or your circle of friends because everybody wants you to come over and bring those hotly, anticipated little screeners with you.
Yeah.
It's such a chore to have to watch all these fabulous movies at home.
So what do you, do you agree with, I guess we can start with the best pictures. Now, the Golden Globes divide these up into dramas and comedies, which I always think is so smart in many ways, because the comedy or musical comedy category is always so overlooked at Oscar time. And it really gives some of these films usually a chance to be in contention for a major award. So did they get it right with the dramas and the comedies this year?
Yes and no, which the Globes,
Yeah.
which have a rather checkered past. See, I love, I'm old enough to remember when the Golden Globes, was a dinner and they would mm-hmm. show it on cable and mm-hmm. they would have...
You're getting a very important phone call.
I can't take any calls now, darling. I can't do it. This is what it's like around here. People are calling. What are your thoughts, your opinions?
I know. That's why I'm calling you first.
But I remember when the Golden Globes, as I said, was like a little dinner. And it was an excuse for people to get together and really, tie one on. And they would have, Suzanne Somers would come out and be the musical guest.
Right. And Jack Nicholson was always drunk or high by 20, 30 minutes into it.
Yeah. So that's the goal. So when now that the Golden Globes have gotten this respectability, they're not nearly as much fun. And, oh, you know, I mean, Pia Zadora, you know, there's the famous story that the husband bought her the nomination for Butterfly. And she actually won.
Oh, my God.
Pia Zadora has a Golden Globe. Anyway, so yes, I didn't mean to sidetrack there, but, you know, it's hard for me to take these Golden Globes seriously. Okay. Anyway,
but it is the best indicator, right, of what is going to go down the pike often at Oscar time.
Well, ironically, yes, it has become sort of the, you know, the proving ground for what's going to happen at Oscar time. And I think a lot of the stuff they did get right. Some stuff, of course, gets overlooked. In the dramas, we were looking at Curious Case of Benjamin Button, mm-hmm. Frost Nixon, The Reader, Revolutionary Road, and Slumdog Millionaire.
I was really shocked The Reader was in there.
I think actually The Reader is a better film for that slot than Revolutionary Road.
Interesting.
Which I think now you're seeing the critical response to it is not quite as wonderful as they would have liked. Mm-hmm. I'm very sad that The Dark Knight didn't get a nomination.
Right.
Because I really think it was the best picture of the year.
Wow.
And closely followed by WALL-E.
Ah, yeah, that's so shocking. Now, would WALL-E not enter into a comedy category, or is there an animated category?
I'm not sure if the I'm scrolling down to see if there isn't. There is an animated category, and they are in that. And you know, Disney has tried to push WALL-E as mm-hmm. a Best Picture nomination on its own. You know, mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast had a nomination 15, mm-hmm. 16 years ago. So they say
this happened at Oscar time. You're saying?
Well. You know, it's not a good indication that the Globes didn't put it in the regular competition. They put it in the animated competition. So I would say that its chances are waning.
What do you think is really the standout film in this dramatic category? I mean, Slumdog Millionaire is definitely kind of the dark horse, the independent little film, the engine that could, that has definitely become now a darling.
And it's a great film, a really great film. It's actually a very old-fashioned film, you know, boy gets girl, boy loses girl kind of picture. But mm-hmm. because it's set in India, mm-hmm. and sort of exposes this amazing culture that we have not really seen in the movies so much here, mm-hmm. It gives it a fresh twist. I'm really happy that that movie is there. Benjamin Button, it's one of those pictures that I was so dazzled the first time I saw it. I thought this is the coolest movie. And then the second and third time, I've started to have more and more trouble with it. Because I really feel that the Brad Pitt character at the center of the film is sort of this vacuum, like mm-hmm. this dark hole that sucks everybody in. mm-hmm. It doesn't bring much to anybody else, and you start to say, why? I don't quite see any chemistry. And anyway,
so what should win and what will win in the dramatic category?
Okay,
pick your should win could be a film not mentioned.
Okay, well, I think The Dark Knight should win, even though it's not nominated.
Right.
And Frost Nixon, you know, has gained a lot of momentum because director Ron Howard is really, really loved in Hollywood. I personally thought the film was, you know, sort of bland. I'm oversaturated with the subject matter. Too many Nixon pictures. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Slumdog of the nominations.
And that would be a huge, exciting day. What about in the comedy Best Motion Picture category? Who should win? Who should have won? And who will win?
Okay, well, we've got Burn After Reading, Happy Go Lucky, In Bruges, Mamma Mia, and Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I don't quite understand some of these nominations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Burn After Reading was a black comedy, liked it, a good film. Happy Go Lucky, delightful film, but mainly because of the performance of the young actress, Sally Hawkins, who plays mm-hmm. the lead in pretty much the whole film. Runs around her. I think actually of all these films, In Bruges is the best one.
I don't even know that film.
That's the film by the theater director. Oh God, what's his name? You should know this, Amy, big theater person. He wrote Queen of Linane or the Irish guy.
Martin McDonagh?
Yes. This is his first film.
Oh wow.
as a director. And it's a beautifully written film with Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell as these two hitmen kind of cooling their heels in this mm-hmm. little known town. Mm-hmm. Very funny and dark and a lot of good stuff. More of a critic's picture. And indie audiences loved it.
So do you think that will win? Do you think that that should win too? Or is there a comedy missing from this category?
No, I'm sorry. I don't think that will win. I think that should win. Okay. I think what's going to win is either Vicky Cristina, the Woody Allen picture, mm-hmm. which is kind of a real return to form for him, mm-hmm. or even maybe Burn After Reading, which is the Coen Brothers movie.
Right. Let's go into the actor category in for men, drama and the comedy category. Are there real standouts? I mean, obviously, I think many of us in the GLBT community will really be rooting for Sean Penn. He's won so many awards for Milk. Will he walk home with that?
He better. He better. I'm gonna
now, will Mickey
upset.
Rourke be his biggest contender in The Wrestler?
Well, he is his biggest competition. And the problem I have here, first of all, Sean Penn plays a role like it's a character he's never played before on screen. He really stepped outside of the usual performance that he gives as Harvey Milk. Mickey Rourke plays a character in The Wrestler, which you imagine is very much like himself. He's this kind of over-the-hill sort of guy who is struggling to sort of hang on to what little fame he has, you know, sort of screwed up. It probably is something that you imagine is not real far from what the guy is in real life, certainly if you follow the tabloids and all of his right. plastic surgery photos.
So how about Javier Bardem? Are we going to see him take home finally another Globe? Don't they love him, these award shows for Vicky Cristina Barcelona?
Well, he was tremendous in that film. He really was tremendous.
I have not seen that film yet, and I want to go see it so desperately. It's still playing here.
He's absolutely wonderful. And of course, Penelope Cruz is just she's I loved her so much in that film. She made that film for me.
Yeah. I love her a lot, too. You and I share that.
There are so many good performances in that category. You know, James Franco is so funny and sweet and Daffy and Pineapple Express. And mm-hmm. and by the way, he told me that actually he sees his character in that movie is actually in love with Seth Rogen's character. He mm-hmm. says it's kind of, you know, this quasi-romance. Brendan Gleeson, as I mentioned, in Bruges, who's this tremendous actor. I love him in everything. Mm-hmm.
That's a tough category.
You know, then we have Dustin Hoffman, who's very good in this film, Last Chance Harvey, which hasn't even opened yet here. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood loves him. You know, you have to take that into consideration, too. The people that, you know, he's been around for 45 years in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him, you know.
It's a powerful race, too, for the women. I mean, it is kind of like the generation, the young generation and the mature generation of the best. I mean, in the dramatic category, we have Anne Hathaway and Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie. In The Changeling, Meryl Streep, Kristen Scott Thomas, Kate Winslet for Revolutionary Road. And then we go down to the actress in comedy, and we have Frances McDormand, Meryl Streep, a double nominee. I'm not quite sure about that one for Mamma Mia.
I don't get that at all.
Emma Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Sally Hawkins, who's an amazing actress, and Rebecca Hall, who's a relative, I guess, newcomer to most people. This is a tough category in both dramatic and comedic, don't you think?
I do. I think the dramatic is a little tougher because it's going to come down, as far as I'm concerned, to Meryl or Anne Hathaway.
Really? You don't think Kristen Scott Thomas?
Well, I loved her in the film. I really did. But it's a French film. Not a lot of people are going to see it. It's a very dour character. It's, you know, it's a character that's played very close to the vest. Mm-hmm. Voters really tend to like these very showy, scenery-chewing kind of performances. And both Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep, certainly. I mean, Streep, come on. Mm-hmm. She's so... I said in my review, you know, to compare her performance with Cherry Jones, who did the part in the play, and you've seen the film, right, Amy?
I have not.
I've been a bit hesitant
because I loved Cherry's performance so much, so I'm curious what you'll say.
Okay. Well, I don't want to give it away, but she makes a choice, Streep, at the end of the film. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, her entire performance was scaled for the stage. You know, she was just larger than life. Mm-hmm. And it was very much kind of a Bette Davis, Baby Jane kind of, you know, mm-hmm. she's in her own acting world and everybody else just kind of orbits around her.
Well, it kind of reminds me of when Glenn Close did Les Liaisons Dangereuses or Dangerous Liaison.
Exactly.
And the difference
exactly.
of the choice when Lindsay Duncan did it. In the stage production and when Glenn Close and different choices were made in that final moment, you know, with her having a fit and wiping off her makeup in the end of that film, that, you know, Meryl has an opportunity, from what I've read of the film, to do some things. You know, the sparsity was what really rang so true for the stage play.
Yeah, I felt Cherry Jones, her performance was scaled for the film. It was much, she did much less, and so, of course, the end resonated so much stronger. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't love Streep, because I did. You're really watching a master at work. Mm-hmm. But
who is the big surprise for the comedy category? I mean, we're both surprised that Meryl's in it. I mean, I love Meryl Streep, but, I mean, you know, Mama yeah. Mia is a blockbuster to me, shouldn't even have been on much of any of this. But are we seeing Frances McDormand once again as such a favorite or Sally Hawkins?
Well, I think that's going to go to Sally Hawkins. It mm-hmm. should anyway. She certainly, of all the nominees here, gave the best performance. I didn't quite see Rebecca Hall. It was a charming film and a charming performance, but it wasn't particularly funny. Mm-hmm. You know, Frances McDormand was very funny in Burn After Reading. And Streep, everybody talked about her singing. I personally think that they've disguised the singing very, very well. And when she finally sang that long ballad, oh my God.
I think she can sing okay. I mean, I think she acted the hell out of ABBA music, let me tell you.
And she sang the little ballad to the daughter. It was very beautiful. But when she had to do this ballad, she never could have handled the Evita score. Never.
Yeah, but I would have enjoyed seeing her do it, I think, dramatically. I actually said that out loud to Kelly watching her do Mamma Mia. I said, I wish, you know, 20 years ago, which would have been when she should have been doing it, 15 to 20 years ago, that she had gotten the opportunity. That would have been captivating. Madonna was captivating as well. Meryl would have been a whole different kind of captivating. So these supporting actor categories get really pared down. Because it mixes all. I mean, Heath Ledger up for The Dark Knight. Is that just a shoe-in? Does he have any? Is Tom Cruise or Robert Downey Jr. at all going to challenge him with Tropic Thunder? Which I'm surprised wasn't in the comedy category, perhaps.
Exactly. Why wasn't that nominated? I mean, that was the funniest movie of the year. I think Heath Ledger is a shoe-in.
Yeah.
I really do. And if anybody's going to steal his thunder a little bit, it's going to be probably Downey.
And what about supporting actress? We have Penelope Cruz, who you love. Viola Davis, of course, that part is just written to take home awards after an award.
Again, you're talking about, and I'm scrolling down to find these. Penelope Cruz is tremendous, but again, it's a very funny performance.
Right.
And voters love those big, showy things. And Viola Davis, however you say it, when she comes in, well, they're not up. Oh, yeah, they are up together. Okay. Well, they mix
and
them
so
together.
And so is Kate Winslet as well from The Reader. So, I mean, are people going to want to give her an award? She has been so oft nominated, and I don't believe, has she ever won an Oscar yet?
No, she hasn't won. And I personally think that The Reader should be, it's a starring performance. I don't mm-hmm. think it's a supporting performance. They did that because of the other movie. That should be nominated in place of Revolution Road. But that's just me, and I know I'm against the wind, but what the hell, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be Viola Davis.
Viola
for
Davis.
Doubt. Yeah.
Now, well, I mean, as you know, this night as well, we will have some juggernaut performances. It is the night when TV and film come together. I don't even know. Are you a big TV person? I mean, are you?
Well, it depends. My husband is.
Yes. So therefore, by marriage, because I'm a huge TV person, you know, I mean, I live and breathe by it. And I do have to say I'm super, super excited this year. About Mad Men being in the running and Dexter staying in the running again this year. I really hope that one of those walks away with the best series. And I would really love to see you know, some of the other actors from those two shows earn some props that I don't feel like they've gotten in a while. January Jones is so compelling in Mad Men. Do you watch Mad Men?
Oh, it's one of my favorite show on TV.
Yeah, I gave it as gifts this year for Christmas because I knew people who didn't have cable, and I thought, and they were very creative, artistic people, and I said, you must know this television series.
Oh, it's, yay! Good for you.
Yeah.
Yes, and I love how she came to the front this year because the first season, you know, she was sort of annoying or she sort of annoyed me a little bit, you know, that they kept, you know, it seemed very familiar, this kind of, you know, trapped housewife sort of thing. But they took so many interesting twists and turns with her character this year. Mm-hmm. The women actually had a much better year on Mad Men this season, which I liked a lot. I am very happy that True Blood got a nomination because we're, of course, you know, as gay men.
Gay men and vampire fans.
Oh, my God. How many, you know, Anna Paquin, whatever her name is, the young lead lady in it. The guy who plays her brother, I mean, he's like naked in every episode.
Yeah. This is what I hear from the gay men. I have yet to watch it, but I hear that it's really good. I heard that it was slow to start, and by episode like 4 and 5, it was starting to find its feet. But I don't know a lot of people that like Anna Paquin in it.
Yeah, she's probably the weakest link in it, but there's so many great character people around her. Mm-hmm. And I personally like that it started slow. I love that they build the atmosphere. It's set in the bayou, and there's a lot of interesting things that you see. I don't know. I was just happy to see it the nomination. I don't think it deserves it.
Right.
And I don't know the other shows. I don't watch them.
Well, I have to say, you know, the... really, we don't have a lot of gay goodness in a lot of the movies. I mean, we obviously have Milk, which I feel like should have gotten a Best Picture nomination. Honestly.
I feel the same way. Absolutely.
I actually think the screenplay is amazing as well. I'm just really shocked that it was not nominated for more. I would have nominated it probably for screenplay and for... and Gus Van Sant. I just think the whole thing is extraordinary. But we definitely have some... you know, some good gayness, I think, in television where we have, this is not a gay show, but I think it's the gayest show on television, which is Deborah Messing in The Starter Wife. It's totally a guilty pleasure. I think it's one of the gayest shows on TV.
I have to start watching
it's just
that.
It's a little morsel of Hollywood goodness. And of course it was based on, who is the producer? Ron Howard's friend, Brian Glazer's wife, I believe this is what the basis of it is, when she divorced him or he divorced her and got him a younger wife. So you're the starter wife. You're the first Hollywood producer wife. And so everything's kind of told, that, you know, the opening 5 to 5 minutes of every episode is her transplanted in some iconic film moment. So whether she's playing Dorothy and her three friends, which are Judy Davis there's a gay man friend, there's Judy Davis, who's the alcoholic friend, and
Judy Davis is on the show. Oh my god. Okay,
and so they redo everything from like the opening moments of Scream, where Deborah Messing plays like Drew Barrymore, because that's going to be the opening dream moment, or she's playing everything from Jack Nicholson in You Can't Handle the Truth. I mean, it's really allowing some fun moments for her.
Oh, that's a very charming conceit. I like it.
It's really, really great. And also we have the Bernard and Doris, the documentary, or I say documentary, the based on a true story miniseries or made for TV movie with Susan Sarandon and
Ralph Fiennes. Interesting. Good performance from him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it will be very shadowed by John Adams, which I think is truly the show.
Yeah, it's very hard to put anything up against a miniseries like John Adams. Yeah. You know, I'm a huge fan of the Glenn Close show,
Damages
that comes back
comes back this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we also have the lovely Openly Gay, has not hurt his career at all. He actually started getting nominations once he came out, Neil Patrick Harris on How I Met Your Mother. So once again, TV leading the way for the GLBT community this year in a way that film still hasn't caught up. But I do think it's been great that Milk has shown that a story, a gay story, if that's what you want to call it, I wouldn't call it a gay story, but many probably would. Can be a mainstream contender, can sell really well, can have fantastic performances in it.
And but, you know, I want to interject something here real quick. This is a trend that's starting to happen this year, which I talked about in this week's column where I do kind of the 10 best GLBT films of the year.
Yeah.
You saw a trend in films that were aimed at male heterosexual audiences featuring gay characters. And they were either just one of the guys, or more often, they were the positive role models for their straight counterparts.
Example? I mean,
Tropic Thunder, where there's Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, where Michael Cera turns to everybody in his band, his rock band, and they're all gay, and he's, you know, he's having this trouble with this girl, and he turns to the guys and he says, "You don't understand, you're gay, you have it all figured out." Mm-hmm. Rock and Rolla, this Guy Ritchie picture, you know, there's no way that guy's a homophobe. Right. There's this guy who comes out to another guy and he calls him every, you know, gay slur in the book, but you know it's done with affection and he's going to accept it. Mm-hmm. Zach and Mary Make a Porno, the Seth Rogen movie.
Yep.
I mean, he's like, he's so in awe of this gay couple. Like, whoa, you guys are so cool.
Well, it's like the regular guy finally making it kind of regularly okay.
It was stunning.
The straight guy now is going to the gay neighbor, as opposed to always the straight woman going to the gay neighbor.
Yeah, and the gay characters are seen as, you know, they're the ones that have the you know, that are together and are looked up to and venerated because they, you know, they got their shit together.
Yeah.
It was like when I saw Tropic Thunder in the burbs with this, you know, testosterone fueled audience around me, and this gay character was revealed later in the film. And the reaction in the audience was like, cool. Wow, that's cool. I mean,
where in the past it might have been, oh, or, I mean, I remember hearing those kind of things. You know,
I mean, revulsion, people, you know, and not to say that this has changed, but to see this start in mainstream film, that because that's, you know, that's a great cultural barometer right there to look at and say, okay, well, then the culture may be ready for this now.
Well, we're going to see Dumbledore in the upcoming year come out as gay. So, right? So,
yeah, right. In a kid's film.
Big moment in the big, yeah, the big final moments of a kid's film, the most beloved series of all time. So, I don't know. Times, they are a-changing, but what's not changing is the Golden Globes will be a lot of fun. Cast your ballots for yourself, see how you do. And Richard Knight Jr., thank you for taking us to the movies. And we'll see what this is, a precursor to the Oscars. And maybe we'll have you back on and talk about what that's going to look like in February.
It would be my pleasure.
Excellent. Now go talk to one of the other sundry various people who need your expertise.
Okay.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
So, what are you going to be doing on Golden Globes night?
What is the date of Golden Globes night?
Golden Globes, January 11th, this Sunday.
Oh, I'm just going to be sitting in my pajamas watching it, or I'll come down here and watch it with you.
Yeah, I'll come down here and watch it with me. Okay. My whole house guests will all be gone, because we have the Gays Got Talent, you know.
Right on the 10th, we're doing that.
This Saturday. So Deb Pierce will be in town from Toronto, and Di will be in town, and they'll all leave, and we should get
awesome.
like burgers and watch the Golden Globes.
Let's do it. Can we get blue cheeseburgers?
Ooh, okay. And let's have like a pot. Like one of us has to do something fabulous for the other if...
Okay.
Like buy them a candy bar. That's all pretty right. fabulous in all my right. book. Whoever right. gets the most. I haven't seen any of these movies.
I never lose that stuff.
All right. I'll take you on.
Yeah, I never do.
It's a good bet.
I've never gone to a party where I've lost an Oscar pool.
Ooh.
Ever. Not one time.
He has slammed it down,
it's down.
On the table. Damn.
Oh, it's on, bitch.
It's on, bitch. Well, we will be back in the next show. Mitchell and I hanging out on the couch, and we're going to find out a little more about Mitchell's holiday and New Year and any resolutions, and mine as well.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. and American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our QueerCast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueerCast.com and iTunes. The next QueerCast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City QueerCast, queer and now.